Well, good afternoon, everybody. Back in 1981, in the Plain Truth magazine, Mr. Armstrong made a very interesting statement. Here's what he said. The entire purpose and meaning of religion is to bring humanity into the way of give, to rescue us from get, which is the way of sin. All our human troubles and evils have been caused by the get motive. The way of give and get are spiritual in nature. The way of give is a spiritual law set in a relentless motion by the Creator, as inexorable as the law of gravity. Break that law and it will break you. And if you look around the world today, we see that in action very much. And he pushed this principle with world leaders. You know, when he went to world leaders, he couldn't talk about Jesus Christ to a bunch of atheists. Very difficult. So what do you talk about? And this is the approach that he actually used. This is from a worldwide news article at the time when Mr. Armstrong was in the Middle East. So in the Middle East, this is how he reacted, how he acted with the interacted with the leaders. Then came the Camp David peace talks. Mr. Begin joined Mr. Sadat in participating. It was not easy to give up something one had gained, but Mr. Begin gave up large portions of the Sinai Peninsula back to Egypt. Now these men are looking towards resolving the touchy questions of autonomy of the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. And President Sadat plans his World Peace Center, emblematic of cooperation in peace, at the base of Mount Sinai. It is all a beginning of the way of give, of cooperation, instead of hostility. I for one commend and give honor publicly to these men, making a beginning in a harsh world of get, to the one and only way to peace, the way of give. I am not naive enough to expect all leaders and all peoples to follow that way. And indeed they didn't, because a few months later, as you remember, Mr. Sadat was assassinated. Continuing, we have in this world the way that leads to the ecstasy of winning and the agony of defeat. Too many still think they enjoy that ecstasy and are willing to risk the agony. I hope these pages are causing some to think. Because agree or disagree, this voice is sounding the warning. If we mortal humans don't, it is very soon now going to be done to us. That unseen strong hand from someplace is going to intervene in world affairs and force a stubborn humanity to enjoy peace, happiness, and universal abundance. His way, the way of give. Mr. Armstrong then, of course, had the opportunity to go to China. Now, you know, going to China, you just can't start discussing Jesus Christ. That would get nowhere fast. And the article written at the time, it says, in foreign countries, especially atheistic nations, where there is no freedom of religion, I have to do as the Apostle Paul did. He said, unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews, and to them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. He quotes that, of course, from 1 Corinthians 9, verse 20. I also have to speak a language that they understand and a language that is permissible in their country. Aye, walking on eggshells, eh? When I tell them that every trouble, every evil in the world has come from the people living by the attitude of get, and that is the world to come, when world famous scientists say, with a single world government, of course, it's our only hope of peace. We shall all have to turn around and go the way of give. They understand. And I have preached not only the good news, the gospel of the coming kingdom of God, but I have also shown that they all must repent. Turn from the way of get to the way of give. Some in Beijing the next day were overheard saying they'd never thought of that before. But turning from get to give is their only hope. Will it work? Well, highly unlikely. Highly unlikely. Because human nature is being what it is, we are hostile. Without God's Spirit, human beings are hostile to God. At the very mention of God, the hackles get up, and you've got a problem. Now, from our point of view, of course, at this time of the year, we are in one of the seasons where we are told to give. And it's a rather interesting offering. We're not told how much. Well, let's read it. You can't spoil the habits of a lifetime, can we? Deuteronomy 16, verse 15, we'll start on. Deuteronomy 16 and verse 15. 7 days shall thou keep a solemn feast unto the Eternal your God in the place which the Eternal shall choose, because the Lord your God shall bless you in all your increase and in all the works of your hands. Therefore you shall surely rejoice. Very interesting. It's actually commanding people to be happy. 3 times a year, verse 16, shall all your males appear before the Eternal your God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Eternal empty. Every man shall give as he is able, and here's the catchphrase, according to the blessings of the Lord thy God, which he has given you. That is that is the bit where we've got to stop and we've got to think. You see, how do we do this? How do you look back on your life and realize that God has been with you all these years, moving you from one place to another, from one job to another, and in some cases from one church group to another, all the time learning, being trained, having our minds sorted out, having our minds sorted out from the point of view that we are making decisions. I always used to say to people, it's very easy if you're in a church, as we were down in South Africa. We had 750 people in the church. Every Sabbath we met in the German school, 750 people. We had ministers and deacons galore. You could go to church for months and not see certain people because they sat at the other side of the hall. Quite incredible. But you know, where is everybody now? Over the years, people have atrophied. They've gone off. Some have gone off track. Some are dead. Indeed, I've just heard today that 2 or 3 people we knew in South Africa this last week have died from this COVID. Very distressing in some ways. But you know, it's all about God teaching us and training us to fulfill the role that he has for us. We all go at it from different roads. We all come at it from different directions. But we all end up at the same point where we can be ready when Christ comes back, ready to be married to him, ready to accept his mind, to have his mind, to have his character, and never able to sin again. What a fabulous future. But how do you then, taking all that into account, how do you work out what to give according to the blessing that God has given you? If we gave all that we had, it wouldn't come near to paying, in a sense, for what God's given us. And that's not what he means. It's a matter of, you know, give what you can and be grateful and thankful for the fact that God gave up so much for us. If we obey, in verse 15, it says, if we obey God and keep his feast days, he will bless us. In verse 16, we are told to appear before God 3 times a year. At the season of unleavened bread and Passover, Pentecost, and of course the tabernacles. But notice something about the feasts of God. They are all based on give. Passover, unleavened bread. God was prepared to give up his only begotten son that he could come down here, live a perfect life, and die paying the penalty for all human sin for all time. How's that for give? How do you think the Father felt when he looked down and saw Christ hanging there, dying? How do you think he felt when Christ uttered those terrible words, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know, that is gut-wrenching, absolutely gut-wrenching. But he went through it because he was giving something to the whole of mankind. You come to Pentecost. Again, God gives his Holy Spirit to those whom he's called. And of course, in the future, everybody is going to be receiving that Holy Spirit. You come to tabernacles. He gives us the seventh trump when Christ returns. We receive eternal life. immortality. Can we really think about what it's going to be like? No more pain, no more suffering. Dare I say at the moment, no more saying, I don't know. So many things happening at the moment, and then we just don't know what the answers are. But then things are going to be different. We're going to have a fabulous job laid out in front of us to sort out the mess that Satan's left behind by completely starting, as I said, on the first holy day. It's going to be completely different. Everything is going to change. There is nothing we can take through from this society and clean it up and polish it a little bit and stick it into God's kingdom. It's not going to work. Everything from the ground up will be completely different. Well, that includes the ground. The ground that produces the crops that it's going to produce in the millennium is going to be quite different to what it is today. And finally, at that stage, then he gives mankind his Holy Spirit. Joel 2, everybody gets that Holy Spirit. Satan is taken out of the picture completely. And human beings have a wonderful time of living and growing and developing and beautifying the whole earth to receive that great resurrection in the last great day. And giving them a whole mind, but he gives them that Holy Spirit. He gives them a whole mind so they can understand spiritual things. Without that, we could not teach. Of course, then he gives them teachers, us. Think about it. We are going to be responsible for teaching mankind to live a completely different way. That way is the way of give. God's way is all give. We need to learn to be like him.